The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What should believers in Christ be doing while we are waiting for Christ's return? As believers generally, maybe we don't think about this enough. So it's great that you've joined us today on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcasting and podcasting arm of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas. We'd love for you to get to know more about us. You can do so by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can also find and read our daily blogs. And you can find out about a free subscription to our bi-monthly magazine, also called Grace in Focus. Once again, find us at faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion previously recorded at our recent National Conference 2024, here are Ken Yates and J.B. Bond.
We are here at the National GES Annual Conference at Camp Copus outside of Denton. This year's conference is on 1st and 2nd Peter. Each speaker is dealing with a particular passage. In this episode of Grace in Focus, we have one of the big shots with us. You know, if we're talking about a general and a private, we got one of the generals. And I'm going to let him introduce himself. Who's with me here?
Oh, me. I'm J.B. Bond. I'm pastor of Stillwater Bible Church in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
And J.B., for those who are familiar with the Free Grace Movement and GES, J.B. is a well-known name. He's been with us. We were just talking a few minutes ago. I started coming to GES probably in 1990, and I remember you back from the very beginning. So we're a couple of the older guys.
Yeah, I came. I think I missed the first national conference, and then I think I've come to every conference after that. So I've loved being a part of it.
Well, that's certainly my memory as well. I was in the Army as a chaplain, so I couldn't attend all of them, but I attend most of them, and everyone I remember coming to, you were there. As I mentioned, JB, you were one of the plenary speakers, and you spoke yesterday. What did you speak on?
It was really an honor to get to speak at the conference. I did 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11.
Okay. And what was the title of your session?
What to do as we await the return of Jesus Christ.
And so part of what Peter is talking about here in 1 Peter 4 that JB addressed yesterday is obviously, based upon the title, the return of Christ. And JB and I were just talking a few minutes ago about this topic, the return of Christ, and I commented that in my experience as a chaplain, and even as I travel with GES, it's striking to me how many groups or denominations or churches in Christendom rarely, or if ever, speak about the return of Christ. I mentioned, for example, that Catherine and I, my daughter, we just did a regional in Italy, and I was reflecting on the fact that because we visited some Catholic cathedrals over there, and I've been associated with some Catholic chaplains of the year, I never remember one of them ever talking about the return of Christ, you know, his kingdom, you know, even if you don't believe in the rapture.
Right.
And even now in a lot of Baptist churches, my experience is they don't even talk about the rapture, or it's extremely rare to hear it. And I know part of the reason is they don't believe in that. But you addressed that yesterday. So just give us just tell us what you talked about and the importance of what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4.
Yeah, let me tell you, you're exactly right. There are very few churches that are dealing even with end time events. And I think that some of them say, we just don't believe it. Well, we would believe that there's a first coming of Christ to the earth to die, to pay for sin, a second coming of Christ to the earth to rule as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then in between that is Christ comes in the clouds to take the church out. And I think we look at 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. Peter starts by saying the end of all things is near. He's saying it's time. Jesus could come at any second. And so here he says, what should we be doing while we're awaiting the return of Jesus Christ? And so that's exactly kind of the key thing there. And, of course, just to get the idea, he says the end of all things is near. A lot of people keep saying, you think we're in the end times, you think we're in the end times. Well, we definitely are. We know after Hebrews chapter 1 where it says, in these last days he has spoken to us through his son Jesus. The last days began, I think, with the death and resurrection of Christ. So we've been in the last days for a long time. But as Peter said, it's near. That means we should say it really is near.
Because it's been 2,000 years later.
And so when you think about 1 Peter 4, Peter's saying, saying, listen, Jesus could come at any second, at the end is near. And then he says, so do this, be praying. And he says, pray with sober spirit, pray with wisdom. And we, as we talked yesterday, we talked about be praying for what? Well, praying for people who may not have ever believed in Christ for eternal life, or that we might have opportunity to talk to people, or just knowing that the time is near. And so then after he says that, he then says, I'm going to give you, he basically says, here are three things to do, you know, and talks about be fervent in your love for one another and be hospitable one another and use your spiritual gifts. Those are three things he says. Listen, as you're awaiting, love one another, open your homes to one another, and use your spiritual gifts to serve one another. So that's kind of the summary.
I want to step back from a free grace perspective and just discuss with you for a second. In your opinion, what is the importance of living with the expectation that the end is near? That, as James says, he's right at the door. He could come back at any minute.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org.
He could come back at any minute. What does that do for me as a believer? What does that motivate me to do? Now, as you said yesterday, Peter says, these are the things you ought to be doing, but why? What's the importance of it?
We live
with this expectation.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, free grace people really understand that the greatest thing, Jesus has paid for all sin, is already over with. When we stand before Christ, there'll be the judgment seat of Christ, the rewarding stand. And if we know he's coming at any minute, we want our lives to count for him, so that when we stand before him, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. So I think the motivation would be, I'm going to get to be with my Savior. And when I stand before him, do I want him to look at me like, what did you do with the gifts, talents, and abilities and everything that I gave you? Or do you want to hear him say, well done? So I think the motivation would be knowing I'm going to stand before my Savior, and I get to, Lord willing, hopefully he will say, well done. And so I think Peter says, okay, since he's coming, be praying, and here are the things to focus on as we wait for him to come.
Yeah, I think that's one of the tragedies when we look at so much, as I mentioned earlier, about Christendom, where there's not even a mention of him coming. You know, in my opinion, it seems like most people in churches today have this idea that even if it's not stated, that at least subconsciously, the world's just going to keep going as it's always gone. I'll die, and hopefully my spirit will float up to go to heaven or something like that. You know, I hope I make it. But and it's more of a soul kind of thing. But no, the scriptures teach us, and as you were just saying, JB, the importance of this is he's going to come back. And he's going to set up a kingdom, and our bodies are going to be resurrected as believers. We're going to be receiving glorified bodies, and we're going to live with him forever. And as you just said, he could call us to him right now. While we're talking,
mm-hmm.
And how do I want him to find me? What do I want him finding me doing when he returns, as in so many of his parables? And in your section in 1 Peter 4:7-11, as you mentioned in passing here, and I do in the last few minutes we have, I want you to just give a little bit more detail. Peter says, do these three things,
mm-hmm.
so that when he comes, and he could come right now, he'll find us doing the things that are pleasing in his eyes. So just for a few minutes, tell us, what are those three things again, and just go a little more detail on that.
I think it's so beautiful because he says, here it is. Okay, be fervent in your love for one another. And there's more to it, but he says, love one another. Jesus already said, when they ask him, what's the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love covers it all. He says, be fervent in your love for one another. And then he says something that is amazing, because love covers a multitude of sins. And he's not saying love pays for the sins. Jesus has already done all that. He's saying that in our relationships with each other, we're going to mess up. We're going to hurt each other. We're going to say things or do things. And what he's saying is, look, just let love cover over. Love covers a multitude of sins. Just be fervent. Just keep loving one another. It amazes me, Ken, and we've talked about this before, how how so many people get so bent out of shape over the, you know, Christians that get angry with one another over little bitty things when they ought to be letting love just cover it over. And so Peter says, listen, the end is near. Be praying. And first of all, love one another because love covers it over. Then he says, and then be hospitable, which means open your home. He's saying, look, reach out to people, love people, bring people in, take, you know, do things for people. And then he says it without complaining, because it's really easy for us to say, oh, I have to go do this. No, we get to go do this.
It's a privilege, as you said yesterday. Yeah. Right.
And then the last part, he says, and use your spiritual gifts. He says, as each one has received a gift, and the Greek word there is the word for a spiritual gift. It's a, you know, the an ability. I think a spiritual gift is a divine ability given by God to serve within the body of Christ. And so he says, as each one has received a gift, then use that gift in serving God. And then even divides, it's really amazing because he takes them and says, okay, there's two kinds of gifts. He takes all the spiritual gifts and divides them into speaking gifts and serving gifts. And he says, if you speak, if you got a speaking gift, you speak the utterances of God, which he's saying, you speak the word of God. And you and I've talked about this, Ken, before, that it is so amazing that pastors and things, they're not teaching the Bible. They're getting up and they're making up sermons and trying to figure out, maybe I've got an idea, maybe I can find some Bible verses that'll match it. But the Bible, the word of God, and even Peter here is saying, look, if you're going to speak, speak the word of God. Teach the scripture. That's what I think we're supposed to do. Teach the word. And then he says, if you have a serving gift, serve in God's power. And so he just takes all the spiritual gifts and says, whichever one you have, an upfront type speaking gift or a serving gift, then do it all in God's power and God's word. And it's just beautiful. So he's saying, okay, he's coming any second. Be praying, and then open your home, love people, use your gifts. And then I love the end of this when he says, so with all of this, ultimately, in order that God would be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the one who gets all the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Everything we do, and ultimately, is for the glory of God and for our Savior Jesus Christ. So I would say to all of us, while we await, and Jesus could come at any second. Like you said, there's so many people, they're just going through life. They think, well, probably the world's just going to go on. I'm going to die. Hopefully I'll get to be with God. Where the free grace people know that we have believed in Christ for eternal life. We're saved and saved forever. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. We know we'll be with him, but we also know we may not ever die physically because he could come here any second. And so while we're waiting, we could say, love one another, serve one another, be hospitable, use your gifts as we await the return of Christ with the ultimate that Jesus gets all the glory and the Father gets all the glory.
Well, thank you, JB. What exciting thing to realize that our Lord could come back at any minute, and we have the privilege of serving him while we wait for that blessed moment to come. Well, JB, we appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
And remember, keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, more from our national conference, what if there is not a Free Grace Church near you? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.